And I said that there were four requirements to be for spiritual illumination to take place. We spent most of the time last time just talking about the fact you have to be saved. You can't understand the things of God until you have the Spirit of God in you. So you have to be saved, and then now you have the author of the Scriptures as your teacher. Turn 1 Corinthians 2 where we were reading that, and rather than showing that the natural man does not understand, let's just look at that in the opposite way, that now that you have the Spirit of God, you can understand. There is a sense in which you read these verses and really can understand that when Paul says, like in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. There's a sense in which he's saying that in the sense that he can say, he can tell these people about the truth of God because he has the Spirit of God and God has revealed them. That's back up in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Well, Paul actually got revelation by the Spirit and spoke as a prophet of God, apostle actually, speaking the message. And so there's a sense in which verse 12, you understand how that can apply to the Apostle Paul. But when you read the context, he's telling the Corinthians that they don't need to be carnal Christians. So it's what he's saying is not just something true for him and him alone, because I've heard people teach it that way, that you know, this only applies to Paul. Because as you read on, it says, well, verse 12 again. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. That is, the words that came from the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The truths of the Spirit of God given by the words of the Spirit of God is how we can know the things of the Spirit of God, or the things of God. And now Paul got it by revelation, but we know that when he wrote it down, like in the book of Corinthians here, it's now written down in the book of Corinthians, so the Corinthians can know the things that Paul knew, and not just the Corinthians, God preserved the word for us to know too. So, and when we got saved, we saw the verses last time, that when you, after that you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, Paul will say, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? So we have the Holy Spirit, just like Paul had the Holy Spirit. We don't have revelation out, you know, in our ears. We have the revelation the Spirit of God gave to the Apostle Paul. But we can compare spiritual things with spiritual. The ideas that God would have us to know by the words that God has given us, given by inspiration of the Spirit of God. So verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So that's what we were talking about last week. We have to be saved first, have the Holy Spirit, then we can move on past that to verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's not just Paul, because Paul wrote it down and left it here. The mind of Christ is the revealed word of God that we have in Scripture. So he goes on to say in chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. See, Paul's not the only one that can be spiritual. They can be spiritual too, but he couldn't deal with them as spiritual because, as it goes on to say, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for are ye yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, when he says, you understand how what he's talking about. They're carnal, even as babes. They're not babes in Christ. A carnal means fleshly minded. When it says we have the mind of Christ, by studying the Scriptures, we can know and think the thoughts and mind of Christ. We can know that. So by the scriptures, we can know that, and by the fact that we have the very teacher, or the very giver of the Word of God as our teacher, we can know the things of the Spirit of God, because now we have the Spirit of God, and we got the Word of God, and we can know the mind of Christ. And so, but a person who's saved, just got saved, well, they have the Spirit, don't they? But they're carnal in the sense that they only know how to think like a human thinks, like a natural man thinks, like a lost man thinks, because he hasn't studied, hasn't learned the Word of God enough to discern spiritual truth and live based on spiritual truth. So he is a babe in Christ. The problem with the Corinthians is not that they were babes in Christ, is they're carnal as a babe. That means you guys got saved some years ago, and you're still walking around like a man. You're still walking around like lost men, thinking like lost men, arguing, fighting, living like a lost man, suing each other in court and living in the flesh and all that. And so he calls them carnal even as babes. But that's not a put down, but it's a criticism to the Corinthians, because they could be spiritual. And that a spiritual man is one who understands the truth of God's Word, discerns that, and lives his life based on the understanding of God's Word rather than the natural impulses of the flesh. That's what a spiritual man is. So what we're talking about the Bible, that God had to reveal his Word. Well, he has revealed it. But in order for us to have it past the Apostle Paul, God had to give it up to us in writing, and so all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we have God's Word. And now we're at the point of talking about illumination, God's Word coming off the page and into us. And a goal of the Christian life is to be spiritual. And in order to be spiritual, first you got to be saved. But then you're going to have to spend some time in the Scripture to have the mind of Christ operating in you rather than just your own natural mind. So it takes the Spirit of God not just to be in you, but then for us studying the things of the Spirit of God, you know, studying the Bible, for the Spirit of God now to become our actual teacher. We have the very Spirit of the who inspired the Word on the page in our life to take the words here and put it into us, into, as other places, into our heart. And then the Spirit begins to operate. So that's the second thing, the Spirit of God becoming our teacher as we study the Word of God. But then the third thing is that a person has to believe the Scriptures when they study it. If you come on Wednesday, we're at the place where Paul went to Berea. I'm not going to bring that verse up because we're going to teach it on Wednesday. But it says the Bereans, and by the way, a lot of Grace churches call themselves Berean Bible Church, Berean Bible Fellowship, all that, because of what it says about the Bereans. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Well, that first part of that verse, sometimes I always like searching the Scriptures. But one of the things that made them noble is they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Now, I don't know what you think that means, but to me, as soon as I read that, it's like, if that's what God said, then that's true. That, like, if that's what God wants me to know, if that's what God wants me to believe, if that's what God wants me to do, then that's it. They were just sitting there waiting for, you know, instructions, and they searched, but they had that readiness to believe what God said. And you know, not every believer has that. Especially what we're talking about, the reason we're talking about how we got our Bible is there's a lot of we're actually studying to learn why we should value the King James Bible. Along the way, we're learning, of course, first to value the Bible, but then we got to decide, well, where is the Bible today? Where is God's Word for us English speaking people? Ultimately, we'll show that it's the King James Bible. But there's people today that don't have that type of value of readiness to believe, because the first thing they're doing, they're called critics. They're studying the Bible and say, well, I'm not sure it really says that. You know. Anyhow, here, come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 1. Is it 2 or 1? It's chapter 2. I always do this. change it right in my notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul brags about the Thessalonians. And remember, he left Thessalonica to go to Berea, and they were more noble. But the ones who were believers among the Thessalonians, when you come, you find out the Bereans were actually lost Jews, so you got to be careful about wanting to call yourself a Berean, but we'll talk about that Wednesday. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So here the Thessalonians, the ones Paul's bragging about here, is that when they heard Paul's word, they received it as it is in truth, the word of God. It wasn't Paul's words. It was God's word. And then because they received it as God's word, it effectually, God's word works effectually also in you that believe. The way that the Bible, the power of God's word, is released in our life is when we believe it. I mean, you got to know it first, right? But it's not just knowing it. You know, you can go to Sunday school and learn to quote all kinds of Bible verses. But then that readiness of mind, when you acknowledge, hey, this is God's word, this is the truth, and therefore you believe it, then the word of God becomes effectual. That word effectual is the empowerment of God's word. It starts operating in you. It effectually works in you that believe. So it takes not just someone saved and with the Spirit of God studying the Word of God, but also that readiness of mind to believe it, to believe the Scriptures that he's reading. And there's a principle that runs through the Bible, a principle that when you receive light in truth, believe the light, you gain light. But if light comes your way, the truth of God's word, and you reject that light, then darkness sets in. And it's taught in principle in the parables. But before I go there, go to Proverbs chapter 4. I got a lot of verses marked here, so just follow the context. Proverbs, Solomon passing on wisdom, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light," in contrast to the wicked above. But anyhow, "the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend unto my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto them that find them, and health unto all their flesh." So that, when he said, verse 23, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So you're taking God's word, and you're putting it in your heart, and it becomes the very issues of life. You live out of what's in your heart. Well, if you put light in your heart, you're going to live out of that light. You put darkness in your heart, you're going to live out of that darkness. Or if that darkness is just a void, then you're going to live out of ignorance, right? That's why Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, he says, "I would not have you to live like other Gentiles live through the ignorance that's in them." And he names, you know, we're not to live out of ignorance. We have God's word, but if we take God's word as light and believe God's word, then we can live out of those things. But we're going to have to put it in our heart. That verse 18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day." That verse in Corinthians that we read last week says that we're changed in that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. That as we look into who God has made us in Christ and start studying that in the Bible, it transforms our life. But if you study that and say, no, God didn't do that for me, that's not how who he made me in Christ. And you put a block on understanding what God's word said, you can't go from glory to glory. You can't increase in glory, in growth, when you believe something or don't believe something that God said. It'll stunt your growth. And so you have those truths. You know, I talk about Pastor Jordan. It's strange because he's what, 63 years old. But because he pastors the church that J.C. O'Hare started, now I don't know if you all know the history of so-called Right Division, but there was two main men back in the early 50s. In fact, our church here is J.C. O'Hare used to come and preach in Detroit at another church, and there's some people sitting there saying, you know, this guy's saying stuff our church don't stand for and doesn't teach all year long. So they started having a Bible study to understand the Bible through a Pauline dispensational point of view. And as a result, it became Grace Bible Church. But anyhow, J.C. O'Hare was a big spokesman in the Midwest. And Cornelius Stamm, he was out in New Jersey. And he actually, his dad, they had a big mission where they'd have 900 people at his mission. It was more than, it was a mission, but it was also a conference center. And all Barnhouse, Ironside, you know, all the, I don't know if you know all those names, but when I went to Bible college, we had to read their commentaries. They were the big men back then. And Stamm, they used to walk Stamm to the store when he was a little kid. He used to hold their hands, Barnhouse, walk him down, buy him an ice cream. And so he got to know all these people. And but see, those men back then, I don't know about this. I only know this from listening to Pastor Jordan. I was going to tell you, Pastor Jordan has insight to that because he was personal friends with Stamm because he actually was brought up to Chicago to take over Stamm's ministry. And he got to hear all these stories. He took over J.C. O'Hare's church, and when he was there, there were people in their 90s that were personal friends of J.C. O'Hare, so he got to learn all the stories about that. He has a wealth of information of the historical growth of the Grace Movement. But one of the things he said, we're talking on the side, because someone's writing letters criticizing something, but he was talking to a couple of people, I just sat there listening to him, and he was talking about how, like a guy like Ironside, he's really like a Baptist guy, and DeHaan, all those guys. That anyhow, there was a time in the early 50s that they were talking dispensational truth that we're talking about, recognizing the Apostle Paul and everything. But they began to see that it was going to cause, if you move from the age of grace beginning at Pentecost over to the conversion and ministry of the Apostle Paul, there were things about, you know, that they practiced, like water baptism, that was going to be affected. And eventually, they all had to make decisions where they turned back rather than went forward. And J.C. O'Hare, I guess there's a book that he has, he calls it The Two Ironsides. And he quotes Ironside, who's teaching dispensational truth as we would teach it, and then later on how he taught against it over here. Because those men realized there was going to be a cost because it was going to drastically change some doctrines and maybe their associations. And by the way, Stamm wrote a book called The Controversy, and that's a book that, they say it's got a new name now, but it's a book that everybody asks you, how come, you know, the great men don't believe these things, and the older great men. Stamm actually wrote letters to all these men, and then they wrote them back, and he printed them. It's all in a book. They're criticizing, who do you think you are to tell us this? I have a PhD degree in such and such. And that's their answer when he asked them about a Bible question. Because, you know, people say, well, how come other people don't believe this? As if, you know, they must have a good reason. Well, so Stamm just printed the book that showed that. My point to you in light of this is, if you block light, they were coming into understanding light that was going to bring them into further light. We understand things, like Pastor Stamm wrote the book on Galatians. He actually wrote a book on Hebrews. I personally wrote him a letter, mailed it back to him, and said, we won't sell this at our bookstore, because if I did, it'll undo everything you ever wrote. Because he writes his book about how Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews has body truth in it, and it doesn't. The book of Hebrews is about the Hebrew epistles to the Hebrews in the age of grace, in the tribulation time to come. And I don't want to confuse people. It's not, you know, that I'm hiding the book. I'm not going to put something out that's going to confuse people. When he wrote the book of Galatians, he never really wrote the art. We sell it out there, Galatians. It's actually someone transcribed his preaching on the radio because he didn't write a commentary. He died before he wrote a commentary on Galatians. But the one who took over after Pastor Jordan is Pastor Sadler. He writes an introduction to the book of Galatians saying, some of us don't believe what Pastor Stan believed concerning the 12 apostles becoming part of the body of Christ. Because when you read what Stan teaches in Galatians, you get all confused because Stan actually thought the 12 apostles eventually become part of the body of Christ and going to be raptured at the rapture. And we don't believe any of that. But see, what I'm trying to say is Stan taught some things that got us to understand some things about right division. So we have light. And then further light comes, more clarity comes as you go on. Now, Stan got old, so he got so far and he stopped growing, but growth doesn't stop. Other people, you know, okay, learn from him and then keep learning. And but the guys that were his equals or his actually teachers, Stan's teachers, those guys blocked the light and turned around and went reverse. And there's an effect for that. When we talk about spiritual illumination, you can't have spiritual illumination if you all of a sudden take a truth that's right there in front of you. Paul says, I'm the apostle of Gentiles. I don't believe that anymore. You think you're going to grow in understanding? You're going to have enlightenment? No, you block God's word and darkness is going to set in. And that's done historically. That's how the dark ages all took place. I mean, you go from the time where Paul goes out and planting churches and multitudes are getting saved to you go into church history, dark ages. Why? They turn from the truth. So light brings light. Come over. I have all kinds of verses, like I said. Matthew chapter 13. We'll get this in. We're going to run out of time. That's a real important doctrine for you personally, not just historically. That you need to have the attitude that I want to believe the Bible. Even if Pastor Tom tells me it's not right, he teaches me a wrong way. We say that because more and more around here, I get done teaching, people tell me what was wrong with what I taught. But see, I'm not. My job is to study. I teach you what I believe. I teach what I believe, even next hour. So I don't know how what we're going to teach is going to come across. I'm not going to get there, Matthew. But anyhow, you need to study and be ready to believe and not just be persuaded by someone. You need to be look at God's word, be willing to believe God's word, even if it changes what you previously thought. And if it's truth, you'll gain more truth. Now, if it's false, you're going to stunt your growth until God grants you repentance to get past that. That'll change your mind. And then you can grow. Because there's two flip sides to this. I was going to show you here how light brings more light, but I was also going to show you how darkness will bring more darkness. And we'll pick up there next week. Enjoy your fellowship, and let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the class. Time really does zoom, but we thank you for the fact that we have your word. And if we learned anything in the class today, it's that we need to be spiritual, not carnal. And we need to spend some time with your word and by your spirit, a readiness to believe the truth. We pray that we won't just believe things carnally or because we've been taught it, but that we can see it. And then, Father, as we embrace it, we look in excitement for years ahead of continual growth and understanding. So we thank you for giving us your word and the enlightenment to it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.